plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in the Middle East, where Israel is flattening more territory and taking more lives in Gaza, where they're running out of everything, including food and medicine. Correspondent Chanel Call has our top story.
6 days since the surprise attack from Hamas militants, Israel continues striking Gaza. Around 300,000 Israeli troops are now positioned near the Gaza Strip, among them reservists mobilized from countries around the world, including the U.S.
We're just trying to go back, bring the peace as soon as possible.
Yesterday, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vowed to wipe Hamas off the map. He and his top political rival have now formed an emergency wartime cabinet.
The death toll on both sides is up to 2,400 today. Israel says it's identified more than 90 people taken into Gaza as hostages Saturday. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres made an appeal today.
Crucial life-saving supplies, including fuel, food and water, must be allowed into Gaza.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Tel Aviv this morning meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu. He is also scheduled to meet with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. The House has moved a step closer to choosing a new speaker, but not close enough to ensure it'll be Steve Scalise. After a private vote among Republicans, it's unclear if Scalise has enough support to win over the full House. Arizona's Juan Siscomani.
We need to unify around the idea of the priorities that we want, select a person by the majority, the person winning the majority vote, and then uniting around that person on the floor.
Many Republicans say they still support Jim Jordan. Union workers have just upped the ante in their almost a month-long strike against Detroit's Big Three. 87,000 workers have walked out at a Ford pickup plant in Kentucky. Talks between Hollywood actors and studios have broken down.
In a statement after negotiations wrapped up Wednesday, the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers said the gap between the two sides is too great. The group said conversations are no longer moving us in a productive direction. In an email to its members, the union, SAG-AFTRA, said the studios walked away from the bargaining table after refusing to counter its latest offer. Christopher Cruz, CBS News.
Scientists say they've reached a scientific treasure, received one from OSIRIS-REx mission that collected rocks and dust from outer space. Space consultant Bill Harwood.
Samples from the asteroid Bennu contain high concentrations of carbon, which is essential to life as we know it, as well as water-bearing clay minerals.
Those help form our lakes and rivers here on Earth. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The 7th Annual Cap Times Idea Fest returned to Madison September 17th, featuring conversations with leaders in government, business, education, social justice, and culture. Idea Fest moderators and guests looked ahead to what the future could look like in Wisconsin and how we reckon with change brought on by the pandemic, the Black Lives Matter movement, and other forces. Civic Media proudly partnered with Idea Fest and will present segments of this year's recorded gathering this weekend across the Civic Media Network. Tune in Saturday at 2 p.m. on your favorite Civic Media.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the Wild West of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of 6 responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
David Drake is a professor and the Extension Wildlife Specialist at UW-Madison. Greg, tell him what you call him.
I now refer to you as Jane's birder boyfriend.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Whoa!
Now I have competition.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, God, I am wounded.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
Well, he had a little chat with management yesterday, and I did suggest a daily limo and a fruit plate.
How did they take that?
That didn't seem to take that seriously for some reason.
I have full faith in you. You've been doing this for a long time. And you have Greg Bach.
I got a call from management this morning saying if I'd be interested in taking on new roles as a driver and buying fruit plates. That's a career opportunity.
Put that on your resume, baby.
Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Thursday, October 12th, another beautiful day to have you here up north. From wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or the Civic Media app, or by podcast or on social media. Nice to have you here in the state of Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin sense. Easy for me to say, and I made up the word. We unpack the news a little bit later here after a quick little greeting and telling you what's happening on this Thursday. Look, there are two sessions of the legislature happening right now concurrently. There's the regular fall legislative session where lawmakers can do whatever they want. And then there's a special session called by Governor Tony Evers specifically to deal with some of the very important, very pressing issues for Wisconsin families, the economy, the workforce. Those things are not getting worked on very quickly by the Republicans who run the legislature, but they are making some real progress on bills that they want to rush forward on, anti-trans bills. Three of them are coming up for a vote in the assembly today, just 2 weeks after they've been introduced. So the lesson here is Republican lawmakers can work on things quickly. They just choose not to, unless it's important to them politically. We'll talk to Joe Zepecki about that and more coming up. In our Hometown Health segment at 7:30, we will meet Emily Jacobson, and she'll explain her work as a doula, providing physical, informational, and emotional support to women before, during, and after childbirth. Kristen Lyerly will be with us as well to talk about how that support from doulas has been shown to improve birth outcomes. We'll also have the weatherology forecast, which is looking to be very wet starting tonight in parts of western northwest Wisconsin, all through Friday, most of Saturday, and then into Sunday for parts of eastern and southeastern Wisconsin as that fall storm system moves away. Along the way, if you'd like to be part of the show, 844-967-2789. Trust me, I know it is not easy to pick up the phone at 6:08 in the morning and spout off on something that's on your mind. But just because you rarely hear phone calls during the first half hour of our show doesn't mean that you can't make them. If you hear us talking about what's going on in the news and you've got a comment, go ahead and take an extra sip of coffee, you know, clear those pipes out, dial the number, and let us know what you'd like to talk about today at 844-967-2789. Or if the voice is just not going to work this early in the morning, but you want to send us a note, radio@upnorthnewswi.com would be the email address there. All right, let's head down to Madison, where Sam Davison is standing by the Pride of Ringgold to tell us what's happening down in his neck of the woods or his neck of the big city, as things would be. How are things down there today?
Not too bad. Doing pretty well.
What are you finding to do now? You've been at this for a couple of weeks here, and so when you get done in the afternoons, are you still playing the role of, you know, relatively new resident and getting to know your new neighborhood, or are you working on that car or doing other things? What does a young radio engineer do?
I don't know, varies day to day, anything here and there. Sometimes I just go home and nap.
That's very much allowed, especially on a week like this. Yeah. You know, it's just dark. It's cold. It's the 6 a.m. temps. Well, you're at 50. We're at 40 up here on Lake Wasoda. But look at, do you see those numbers? Green Bay, 38.
Yeah.
Hayward, 34. Wausau, 38.
Today, I didn't need a jacket to come in.
But tomorrow, everybody's going to need something tomorrow, because it's one thing for it to be a rainy day. Maybe during the summer, it's one thing to be a cold day or, you know, a crisp day like today, but the next couple of days, a cold, rainy morning,
that's
not going to be fun. It's
part
of the price we pay for some of the nicer conditions that are out there. Thank you, Sam. Let's see. I mentioned the temperatures in those cities. Waukesha's at 52, La Crosse 47. Wausau 38, Rapids 40, Green Bay 38, Hayward 34 degrees right now. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media, and we put out a daily newsletter. We'd love to have you be a subscriber. Go to upnorthnewswi.com. About 3 days a week or so, I put in an editorial column about what's happening in news and politics. And then there are plenty of other Wisconsin feature stories as well. This morning's edition talks about a Wisconsin chef who has put out his first cookbook, and it's all about cooking Italian at home in a way that's going to make you very happy, happier than opening up a can of Chef Boyardee. So look for that story in our newsletter and much more. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Let's touch on sports real quick here, because again, Brewer season's done and the Packers are on a bye week. We are 3/4 of the way to knowing baseball's Final Four. The Houston Astros have advanced to the American League Championship Series for a 7th consecutive season after eliminating the Minnesota Twins at Target Field last night 3-2, taking the series 3-1. Houston will host in-state rival Texas Rangers in Game 1 of the American League Championship Series starting Sunday. And in National League, the Brewers fans can take some solace. The surprising Arizona Diamondbacks are just on a tear. They're in the National League Championship Series now for the first time in 16 years after sweeping the LA Dodgers. The D-backs won in Phoenix 4-2 yesterday to take all 3 games away from a Dodger team that had 100 wins in the regular season. The D-backs rest up, waiting to see if they'll take on the Phillies or Atlanta in Atlanta yesterday, or in Philly yesterday, rather. Bryce Harper hit a 3-run homer and a solo shot as the Phillies routed Atlanta 10-2 for a 2-1 lead. Again, Atlanta on the brink of elimination after they won 104 games in the regular season as the baseball playoffs roll on. Let's take a break, and we will unpack the news on the other side of this break on a Thursday morning. You're up north.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Do you support the legalization, regulation, and taxation of legal cannabis in the state of Wisconsin? You said yes! Melissa, that was like 12 years ago! What do you think the hang-up is?
It's the Republicans. They're suffering from reefer madness. They're out-of-touch legislators in the Capitol building who don't want to give a win to Governor Evers and Democrats.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Jade Monkey, Diamond Crute, we're going to be there. Live broadcast, party all night.
That's right. The tour stops in Madison at the Jade Monkey on Cottage Grove Road Tuesday, October 17th. It all starts with a live broadcast at 4.
Road trip!
With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. A no-holds-barred political conversation.
That's Matt Flynn Direct.
Gerrymandering is not democracy. It's commie government. It's fake government. You have somebody that gets 48% of the vote and they get 67% of the seats. That is not democracy. It's fake democracy. It's the appearance of law without the reality or the actuality of law.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Bit from the Spinners at 6:15 to celebrate all the teams that have been going home, not just the Milwaukee Brewers anymore, but like I mentioned, the Dodgers are going home, the Baltimore Orioles are going home, the Atlanta Braves are a game away from going home. Keep in mind that of the top four playoff seeds, the ones that got 5 days off and a bye during the wild card round, they went a combined 2-6 on their home fields to start this best of five division round, and two of them, the Orioles and Dodgers, were eliminated in three-game sweeps. So if the time off made some of those teams rusty, some would say it's time to say bye-bye to the bye, but as I mentioned the other day, I disagree. It could have been just as likely that the wild card winners didn't have momentum, but rather were tired and worn out. So basically, just play the schedule you're given, and some teams that did very well in the regular season, just time for them to go home. All right, let's unpack the news. You can react to these stories, vent a little bit about them, share what else is on your mind at 844-967-2789. We had a caller during the break wanting to call our attention to the rise in eviction notices, and so I'll get to that in just a second. But first, it's got to be said, Derek Van Orden, somebody released him again. The Kraken has been released. He's loose. And as the headline in Rolling Stone says, Republican House member Derek Van Orden can't stop yelling obscenities at people. Derek Van Orden's notoriously short fuse was reportedly on full display during a congressional briefing on the Israel-Hamas conflict. He reportedly interrupted a congressional briefing by White House officials, cursing at the presenters, yelling pathetic, and dropping an F-bomb when a Minnesota congressman tried to get him to behave himself. The Minnesota congressman, a Jewish Democrat, had interjected into Van Orden's verbal tirade, saying, "Shame on you." Another member of Congress said Van Orden was rude and attacked the presenters. They had substantive things to say, but he just had this blanket attack saying, "This is the worst information I've ever had," basically attacking them, claiming that they were incompetent. Again, apparently former Navy SEAL Derek Van Orden has other intelligence about Israel and Hamas that he was not willing to share. Or whatever the reason was, and we can speculate on whatever other reasons Van Orden might have for once again going on a tirade and yelling obscenities at people, like he did to those Senate pages in the rotunda, like he did to that librarian in Prairie du Chien for the LGBTQ book display. But again, the guy that presented himself in his commercials as just your kindly neighbor who owns a motorcycle, the guy who wouldn't get on a debate stage because he wanted to continue that TV commercial persona as just the nice, quiet guy, has proven in real life that he is anything but, and that he may not have the judgment and the clearest head that's required for a member of Congress. Another member of Congress, Democrat Jason Crow, apologized to the White House presenters for Van Orden's behavior. Van Orden's office did not immediately respond to a request for comment from Rolling Stone or Axios or Politico, which all reported this story. And then, of course, all the national stories go on to explain all of the other times that Van Orden has put his explosive temper on display. It's very tough for me to have the Rolling Stone article in front of me because they don't have to censor themselves. And so you know, we can't bleep me when I tell you what Van Orden screamed at those pages in the rotunda. You're just going to have to read it for yourself in various news outlets. But that's not the only thing that I was going to bring up this week about Derek Van Orden. Last week, he was in the Eau Claire area. He was invited to speak to law enforcement academy graduates at Chippewa Valley Technical College. And much of what he had to say was by the book. And that is to, again, salute these graduates for working hard, being diligent, and being set to be on the front lines to protect their communities. A job that is sometimes thankless, a job that is rooted in sacrifice as well as service. But he also added a little politics to his speech, blasting the 8 far-right members of the caucus who ousted Republican Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Not normally something you'd be talking about at a police academy graduation, but again, Van Orden doesn't get maybe invited to many places to give speeches, and so he felt he had to speak out where he could. But there was one more thing that he said that was called to my attention on social media, and it was this line. Every person sitting in the front of this row joined the police force after the equivalent of September 11th, and that's the defund the police movement. There are misguided citizens in our country who deride these men and women for protecting them, and that is wrong, and I will not tolerate that in my presence. It takes more courage to join the police force today than it ever has. Okay, let's take a look at a couple of things in there. The defund the police movement, such as it is not the equivalent of September 11th. It's not the September 11th of becoming a police officer. Defund the police was in my mind, to be charitable, a poor choice of words from people who wanted to take on the very, very real topic of police violence against unarmed members of communities of color. It's something that is worthy of conversation about training, about de-escalation, about all sorts of things. Especially since police officers themselves have said for years and years that they would not want to be social workers. They don't want to be counselors. They don't want to be a host of other things that they have to be because of budget cuts elsewhere, cuts in human services budgets and everything else. So when people talk about providing more funding for social workers and for counselors and for drug abuse programs and things like that, you can have an honest discussion about whether that money should come out of police budgets or out of the general fund. But to frame that as defund the police takes away from what police themselves have been saying. Is put more resources towards some of these other things so that police can focus on enforcing the law, protecting our communities from crime. But the quote-unquote defund movement, I wouldn't even go so far as to call it a movement. I think it frankly got more attention from people who criticized it than from any group of allies. So to now put it up there on the level of calling it the equivalent of September 11th for the police force is melodramatic at best. And then, again, the other note was Van Orden saying there are misguided citizens who deride these men and women for protecting them. And again, I don't think that that was necessarily a great choice of words. Nobody's deriding people who actually protect them. They are rightfully protesting the police officers who have, you know, shall we say, gone rogue and who have either lost sight of their training or weren't properly trained in situations that have led to what we've seen in many cities and many locations around the country. And again, this is something that can be addressed with clear heads and sober discussions, but it can't be done if law enforcement and or their allies immediately go into a defensive posture and say, there's nothing to fix here. And if people on the reform or defund the police side also choose some kind of an all or nothing approach to the debate. This is a discussion that is worth having at every municipal level, every city that funds a police department, every county that funds a sheriff's office. They can have these discussions. And I think you will find law enforcement officers and administration who are welcoming to that discussion. But once you get into name calling from either side of that discussion, it's not helpful. And Derek Van Orden's comments there were not helpful. He's right to thank these graduates. This is amazing that they are willing to put their lives on the line to protect our communities, especially when they know that elected officials who serve with Van Orden and who serve in the legislature have done absolutely nothing to better protect them. For the law enforcement officers who have been gunned down in Wisconsin this year, our legislators have responded with crickets. Not only have they not passed red flag laws that could have helped keep some officers alive today, they have mocked and derided the necessity of red flag laws. So it is a great thing that young people and not so young people are willing to switch gears in life and serve in law enforcement. But their work is not helped by somebody of Van Orden's caliber speaking in a way that only exacerbates divisions. Thank them for their service, pray for them for their sacrifice, and don't play politics with them. Now, speaking of playing politics, there is a proposal out there. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one, but it is about providing pay raises to Milwaukee city officials and the mayor and others. And it's, needless to say, drawn a lot of heat. It's one of those things where it's always easy to say that paying public officials is, you know, tantamount to a waste of money. I'd be the first one to tell you there are members of Congress or the legislature who frankly don't deserve their paychecks, but they get them. They won the election. They're serving. They're serving as mayors. They're serving as members of the Common Council. And so I have to say this much. You can't pay them nothing, and you can't pay them in a way that is so low that the only people who want to serve are those who are very irresponsible but in need of a paycheck, or who are very wealthy and don't need the paycheck, because all you're going to get then are a bunch of, you know, ideologues, rich ideologues, who aren't going to have any sense of accountability to the taxpayers and to the voters. And so, again, we can debate what a mayor's salary should be or a common council member or what have you. I would just, again, urge people not to immediately jump to the notion of, well, you know, they don't deserve any kind of a pay raise. We need to figure out what is the right salary for these positions, much like we have to with our teachers. We are underpaying teachers to the extent that we are losing them in droves to other states, not just because of the pay, but the hostility shown by our elected officials. We can't be taking out our own frustrations in a way that actually hurts us in the long run by not being able to attract good people to positions of responsibility throughout our communities. Let's take a break here, and we'll talk more about the fall legislative session and the special session with Joe Zepecki, that and more coming up in just a bit. Wherever you're listening around Wisconsin, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be back.
CBS News Brief. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is meeting with Israel's Benjamin Netanyahu in Tel Aviv, hours after the prime minister called every Hamas member a dead man, the IDF's Jonathan Conricus.
Whenever we have intelligence that indicates the whereabouts of a senior Hamas official or military commander, we strike in that location.
House Republicans have chosen Steve Scalise to be their next nominee for Speaker, but his margin of victory over Jim Jordan wasn't wide enough to guarantee a win in the full House.
Reporters asked the GOP's Matt Gaetz.
Do you think Steve Scalise is going to become the next speaker?
I do.
8,700 more unionized auto workers have walked off their jobs, this time at a Ford pickup truck factory in Kentucky. UAW President Sean Fain.
We had to make a decision. The companies aren't going to come to the table and take care of the membership's needs. Then we will react. The bargaining committees, the vice presidents, and the membership are staying united. And that's how we're going to get this done.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Timeout!
Oh, right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, we've made it to 6:33 on this Thursday morning. Joseph Pecky here, as always, and catching me up on vacation. While I was away last week, I wondered if there'd be any movement on some of these serious issues like the childcare crisis and a real middle-class tax cut and workforce issues and things like that. So to borrow the Thomas Jefferson line from Hamilton, so what did I miss? Joe, good morning. The answer appears to be not much.
At the state level, not much.
Yes, there's at the state news. Level.
There's always craziness going on. We've certainly seen some developments on the state Supreme Court front, although I think you could make the argument it's been a lot of sound and fury without a lot of signal. Yes. But no, our state legislature does not appear to be taking seriously some of the things that we expected would be the A1 top priorities this fall, ranging from childcare to a UW engineering building to a tax cut. Instead, what are they holding hearings on, Pat?
I believe the anti-trans bills are being fast-tracked.
That's a choice.
That's a choice.
And that's a choice. And it is a choice I vehemently disagree with. And for anybody who wants to get smart on what is going on with these youth sports bills, I would encourage you to, after you've listened to every word you can on the Civic Media Network, go and listen to Pablo Torre's podcast, Pablo Finds Out. He recently talked to the one trans girl playing high school sports in Ohio. She was the reason that their state legislature and Republican governor had to race to defend what was happening in girls' sports, and along the way cited dozens and dozens of complaints from parents who were concerned about the safety of their girls. And it turns out that in all of the great state of Ohio, there was exactly one transgender girl playing high school sports. She was a backup catcher who, by her own admission, is not very good. And so I would just encourage folks to hear that this incredibly brave young person who went to the state legislature in Ohio to talk about her experience and how much she got as a person just from being around teammates, being welcomed into a community and onto a team, because that is what sports ought to be about at that level. Mm-hmm. And it was just a remarkable, remarkable piece. And it really puts into perspective how misguided, how wrong what Republicans are trying to do here is. This is not some clear and present danger to young women in Wisconsin. This is not something that is rampant. It is not but tipping the scales. And so to pretend otherwise, to pretend that it is so damaging and harmful to young people who are struggling with some of these issues. And it is something that, frankly, it should be Republicans who are saying, we trust local communities and school districts and coaches and administrators and educators and parents to work together to figure out what works, because we may be talking about at most a handful of examples here in Wisconsin. This is not a problem crying out for a draconian statewide solution.
But this is the part that's so frustrating. They've done these things already. They're on the record. And yet when you come back and you either pass the same legislation again and again, or just engage in the same kind of rhetoric again and again, it's like, we get it. We know where you stand. That's campaign mode. Now we're in governing mode. How's about you start governing? And it just seems for these guys, they don't know how to do anything other than campaign, knowing full well these bills aren't going anywhere.
Yeah, I don't get it. I wish there was a clear answer. There is not. And so thank you to the Democrats in the legislature who are calling this out for what it is. Thank you to the brave parents and students in this state who are calling this out for what it is. There are real challenges afoot. That is what the people's business should consist of right now.
All right, switching gears here to the talk about whether newly elected Justice Janet Protasiewicz, might be the subject of an impeachment attempt by the state assembly. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has finally acknowledged, that he's been getting advice, that he sought advice from former justices. It appears the advice was don't go there. But I think maybe I'm the one who's most concerned about this, but I took the statement from Robin Voss the other day when he dropped the U.S. Supreme Court reference to mean the following. Those right-wing justices on the U.S. Supreme Court, we already got them to pinch hit for us once before when they got rid of the one map that Governor Evers wrote because it had, believe it or not, too many black majority districts. And so they reinforced the maps that we have right now. So the U.S. Supreme Court did us a solid in the past. I have every reason to believe whatever Janet Protasiewicz and those other radical liberals do, I think my guys, Sam Alito and the rest, they're going to take care of us just fine. This is where you get to tell me just how much of a conspiracy theorist I've become on this subject.
I would never call you a conspiracy theorist. I what I heard in my head when Robin Voss made those remarks was a little bit more succinct, which is, nice little democracy you got here. Be a real shame if anything happened to it. And that's full stop, right? He is not done waging the fight to continue to preserve minority rule in the state of Wisconsin. And while it is a positive development that the crisis of trying to overturn the April election of Janet Protasiewicz to the state's highest court does appear to be a little less acute, like that risk is a little less acute today, it does not mean that our democracy is not still at risk. And that is something we should take very seriously all the time. And we've seen in just the last couple of weeks, we've been reminded last week, Mandela Barnes had a piece in the Wisconsin Examiner talking about the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement and Freedom to Vote Acts, two pieces of federal legislation that would address a lot of the shenanigans we're seeing from Wisconsin Republicans, right? It would provide everything from money to make it easier to recruit and retain and compensate poll workers. It would end partisan gerrymandering. It would set uniform standards for voter registration, for absentee ballots, all of these things that we have to do to protect our democracy. Just because Republicans aren't going to take this particular move this particular time does not mean that that danger is not there. So thank goodness we've got folks like Tammy Baldwin working in Congress to get that stuff done.
Yeah, and it was great to touch base yesterday with Representative Lee Snodgrass, about the efforts the Democrats are taking in the Wisconsin legislature to protect democracy and promote voting. But still, there will be this ongoing legal challenge to the maps. The state Supreme Court, the progressive justices did say that they would take original jurisdiction on this and take up the case directly. The other day, Governor Evers, through Attorney General Josh Call, filed to be interveners in the map challenge. We've talked about that in the past, about how Dr. Kristen Lierley basically filed to be an intervener in the challenge to the 1849, so-called abortion ban, because she was somebody who would be directly affected by however this case comes out. So my question to you is the governor and the attorney general seeking to be interveners, basically participants in this case? Is this pretty much a formality, or do we read any kind of significance into it?
I think it's good politics, and I trust the attorney general and the governor, who have been consistent on this. They don't want politicians choosing their voters. They want voters choosing politicians. So there's no monkey business going on here. This is not an attempt to we're going to try to rig the maps for the Democrats. No, that's not what's happening here. This is pretty pro forma standard operating procedure that the state ought to be a party to this case. Whether or not that request will be granted, it will, in my understanding, at least allow them to file some documents with the court, make sure that certain things are part of the process, much the same way that at the federal level before the U.S. Supreme Court, you very frequently have people filing what are called amicus curiae briefs, sort of friends of the court. And so I don't view this as anything all that odd or out of the ordinary.
Okay. So again, something that we'll have to follow along. Now, the big news internationally this week, of course, has been the Hamas attack in Israel and the reprisals and, the reaction of all types from all sides. And we're not going to get deep into the weeds on the issues. But the point I want to make in this is that there are many ways to have an opinion on what is happening there. It just seems to me the one type of opinion that is rather reprehensible is to make it about partisan politics here in the United States and to twist information to score political points. And so to see that Derek Van Orden and Ron Johnson were repeating debunked claims about, how the Hamas attack was funded just strikes me as about as low as it gets, when we should keep our focus on, the acts of terror and the conflict and trying to keep civilians safe on both sides. I just don't agree with trying to score political points out of something like this.
I could not agree more. It is incredibly disheartening, but maybe here is the opportunity for your listeners to understand something. There is no region of the world where security challenges are more complicated, nuanced, complex. The difference between peace and all-out war, the humans involved in this, this is really, really complicated. And the way you know that is it's been going on for more than 50 years. This was a 50-year anniversary attack of the 1973 war in Israel. And so for anyone on the left or the right to race out, as this attack was still going on, and presume that they know what happened and why it happened and who's at fault, and to try to gain political advantage because of it, those people are stuck on stupid, full stop. And you should remember that as you think about who you're going to vote for next year, because the really, really scary implication here is that right now we have really dangerous situations unfolding in Europe and in the Middle East where human lives are at stake. You need sober, sane, responsible, seasoned leaders to deal with this stuff. Sooner or later, there is going to be something that challenges our security closer to home. And when that moment comes, do we want people who are stuck on stupid in positions of authority, or do we want sane, sober, serious, reasonable people in positions of power to make impossible choices for the good of the world? That's the question. Let's try and be better. Let's try and get better people involved, because what we saw from our domestic politicians, many on the right and frankly a few on the left, in the wake of this, is not good enough. We have to be better than this.
Yeah. Again, we have to get out of political mode from time to time and, basically be in governing mode or be on Team America rather than team insert your political party here. All right. Just a few seconds left to make an announcement that there's been a significant name change. It was once Civic Media. We're now going to refer to ourselves as the Mediums of Civic. Just in line with what the Universities of Wisconsin has done rather than UW System. That's my tweaking the proposed name change. Maybe you think it's a stellar rebranding idea.
We're going to workshop that a little bit. I think we should chop that up.
I think so too. Todd Alba mentioned yesterday that the new logo is blue instead of red. I'm like, wait,
what?
We're doing a color change too? Can this be?
Oh my goodness.
I don't know. I feel like there's better things we could be doing out there right now, especially with an embattled university system. Again, the emphasis on system. Joe Specky, thanks for letting me have a little fun with that. Good to talk to you again. Have a great weekend.
See you next week.
We're going to come back in just a bit. See if Dr. Lyerly is going to join us, but check this out. We'll just surprise her and pop her on right now. Good Usually morning. It's with 5 seconds left in the commercial break, not 5 seconds till the commercial break. So welcome. Good morning.
I'm full of surprises.
Yeah, then you go sit over there for a minute. We'll see you in 2 minutes. Back after this. You're up north.
Imagine wearing a shirt that's either too big or too small. That just doesn't feel right. And when it comes to your Medicare coverage plan, Smart Medicare Solutions understands that one size does not fit all. Your plan should be meticulously tailored to meet your specific needs. With a wide range of insurance providers to choose from, Smart Medicare Solutions can help find your perfect Medicare fit. Get clear, objective advice by logging on smartmedicaresolutions.com. Smart Medicare Solutions, guiding you through Medicare with generations of expertise.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, it was New York and Los Angeles. I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York and there's more stage time. I'm going to L.A. If my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Highs around 56 this afternoon. Under overcast skies, northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows around 37 tonight. Mainly clear skies. Mainly clear tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 59. Mid-50s Thursday and Friday. Chance for scattered showers Thursday. Chance for scattered storms Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 52 degrees.
That's not the reason why I've got to get back up to that sugar shack. Whoa, baby, do that.
Yeah, we're starting with a little bit of bubblegum rock for your Thursday morning. This is Sugar Shack, the number one song this day in 1963. I pride myself on knowing, you know, old-time rock and pop songs pretty well. I could not have told you. I've heard the song 1,000 times. I couldn't tell you who did Sugar Shack in 1963. Kristen, I'll be amazed if you know.
No.
You're not going to. Yeah. Jimmy Gilmer and the Fireballs. I swear I'm not making that up. But there you go.
How do you think Jimmy Gilmore and the Fireballs felt recording the song? Do you think as serious musicians, they were like, this one really moves me?
You know, did you ever see the Tom Hanks film, That Thing You Do?
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of, you know, a bunch of young fellas who just want to hear themselves on the radio and, you know, it doesn't take long for them to break up and for the stress to get to them. But What is Jimmy Gilmer doing now? He's probably working in a sawmill someplace and saying, I used to have a number one song. And they're saying, yeah, Jim, get back on the planer over there. All right. Jimmy's going to fade out while he's going to run out of music. The songs back then were like 2 minutes and 3 seconds.
They were
so short.
Yes.
So we're already done with Jimmy as I tell you some of the other things about this day. In 1492, Christopher Columbus's first expedition made landfall in the Caribbean on San Salvador Island. Not India, like he thought he had gone to, but, you know, men, they never ask for directions, right?
Whoops.
Yep. The first celebration of Columbus Day was held in New York City on this day in 1792. This is the birthday of Oktoberfest. The very first Oktoberfest was held in Munich on this day in 1810. It was a celebration of the marriage of their crown prince and a crown prince of Bavaria. And then a princess from Saxe-Hildburghausen.
Yes.
I swear there's German in my family, but I'll be damned if I can pronounce any of that. So that party went so well that they just continued it year after year, and it's become the Oktoberfest that we all know and love today.
We do.
All right, let's see. Anniversary of a birth today. Let's see. That would be Melvin Franklin of The Temptations.
Can fly like a bird in the sky.
Okay, Melvin Franklin is the bass singer you're about to hear here. There you go. Melvin Franklin, he was born this day in 1942, passed away in 1995. On this day in 1973, President Richard Nixon nominated House Majority Leader Gerald Ford to be the successor to resigned Vice President Spiro Agnew. On this day in 1970, Jesus Christ Superstar opened on Broadway, telling the story of the last 7 days in the life of Jesus. The number one song this day in 1991 was by Mariah Carey. Emotions is the title track to her second album that had come out back in 1991. Her first four singles from that album hit the top spot, making Mariah Carey the first artist to hit number one with their first five singles, overtaking a record that had been set by the Jackson 5. And, I mean, we have to acknowledge it. Mariah Carey was a juggernaut in the early 1990s.
That voice, that range. Oh, wow.
I know. Marty McGuire, she would be the violin player from the Chicks. She is 54 years old today. Actor Kirk Cameron is 53. And on this day in 2013, 16-year-old Lorde became the youngest solo artist to write and record a number one hit with her song Royals.
Caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royals. It's a run in our blood. That kind of love just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
She's another example of how you just never know what's going to happen with music. I mean, here was this 16-year-old with this runaway number one hit, and you think, you know, a whole string of hits will pour out, but, you know, not many more did, as far as I can tell. And other people, you don't know why they still have the staying power that they do. That's something I'll never quite understand about the music business.
It's crazy to think that she's 26 and that feels old.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like in sports, you know. It's like, oh, you're 26. Sheesh, you're pretty well done.
She's still around though. I mean, still hear her popping up here and there. I don't think she cares about having big hits. I think she cares about the music.
Look, if you can get like one big hit just to get some notoriety, you can travel and tour off that for the longest time. Witness what I'm up to tonight. Going to go down to Eau Claire to the Pablo Center and see Mary Chapin Carpenter, who had a string of hits again in the 1990s, and Sean Colvin, who only had the one hit, Sonny Came Home. But I bought tickets to the show. I really want to see the show. I've been a Mary Chapin Carpenter fan going way back. I like Sean Colvin. And like I said, you don't need to have a bunch of hits. You just need to have something that'll sell a few tickets. And, you know, people like me will schlep on down and go enjoy the show.
Well, you can spin any of those songs anytime, but it's all about how they do it on stage and how they interact with the crowd and the stories that they tell. So I think you're going to have a blast.
Oh, I think so, too. I think it's going to be really nice. And again, another credit to everybody around the Eau Claire community that recognized it took many, 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 many years, but who recognized that they needed the kind of performing arts center like the Pablo Center. So good on them for doing that. It's just so surprising to see. I'm pretty sure that's your home in the background. I've been traveling, but you've been putting me to shame this summer, and I believe you're traveling again in the not too distant future. Do you have a block yet where you're looking like for an entire calendar month you're going to be in your own zip code?
No.
Oh boy. Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, I get a couple days at a time home.
Yeah. Does that, we talked last week about your new duties with the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. And is that one that's going to require even more travel than you already do to represent OBGYNs around the country?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's okay. That's good because we need a bolder voice right now. If at any point in history, women's health needed to step up and talk about what was happening in the world, I think it's now. Okay. And speaking of which, public service announcement this afternoon at 11.
Oh, that's now. I understand Kristen was on As Goes Wisconsin yesterday. I'm guessing that was a guest appearance because she's taking more than 2 weeks for a maternity break, isn't she?
She probably just can't stay away because she loves it so much.
Well, as any of us would. I mean, if I'd had a baby, I would have needed to come back after 2 weeks to tell people I had a baby. That would be news. You know? But the segment goes on. So public service announcement coming up 11:05 this morning. Yes.
Mm-hmm. With Jane and Greg, it's going to be a blast. We're going to talk about lots of crazy things, health things in the news, and we want people to call in and ask questions because this is a great opportunity to get your questions answered.
Yes, and the title of our next hour here is How Do You Doula? And that is because we have a doula coming up. You got 10 whole seconds to tell us what that's going to be about.
We're going to talk with a doula here in Wisconsin who not only cares for pregnant and postpartum people, but also organizes doulas across the state to make sure that birthing people, women, and families are supported. It's going to be exciting.
The woman is a triple threat. She can talk about news, she can answer your healthcare questions, and is our chief morale officer here at Up North News Radio. We'll talk more with Kristen coming up at 7:06 after a break for news and commercials. See you soon.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.